Welcome to Sharing the Victory, the weekly radio program from the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, the heart and soul in sports. Here's the lineup we have for you today. Cleveland Browns General Manager Phil Savage.
If he truly cares about every hair on our head, then he cares about where we're going to play or coach or scout football. And I really believe that.
University of Buffalo head football coach Turner Gill.
I guess the reason what keeps me going is in great verse there in Joshua 1:9. Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
And FCA one-way to play spokesman and former Denver Broncos safety Steve Fitzhugh.
My real Super Bowl is standing in front of young folks and being able to tell them great things about life and seeing the light come on in their eyes.
We're privileged to have Ron Brown as the host of Sharing the Victory. Ron, the tight ends coach for the Nebraska Cornhuskers, is ready to get today's program underway.
We're going to have a lot of fun today. Glad you're with me. My first guest is Cleveland Browns general manager Phil Savage. Phil is in his third season with the Browns, and he has a real devotion to the Lord. I've spent some time with him, and the guy is a very inspirational general manager. I had the opportunity to ask him how that devotion to the Lord started and how it affects what he does with the Browns as their general manager.
Well, my family, you know, my mom and dad, and I have a younger brother. We went to church when I was a kid, and we would go to the services. I never really was involved in Sunday school much, you know, didn't get involved that way. And you know, I never really strayed too far one way or the other. I was a pretty good kid growing up, and I was in college, and I actually went back home to Mobile, Alabama, and there was a music group there, and they sang a song called Good Old Boys Don't Make It Into Heaven. And that song really just kind of hit me between the eyes because I felt like I was a good person, but that's not really what the Lord wants. He wants the dedication to Him and for us to really sacrifice our lives for His benefit and His glory and what His calling is for our lives. And that was my senior year in college. Since that time, I don't think that I've gone a day or even quite honestly more than a few hours without, you know, praying on a very consistent basis throughout all these different experiences that I've had. You know, when you start off as a graduate assistant, as you know, most people start at that level, and I was a GA for 4 years and never thought I would ever even get a full-time job. My goal was to be a coach at a Division III college, and it just goes to show how, you know, the Lord has different plans for us if we'll just follow what, you know, what His will is. And I've had the blessing of working with a lot of tremendous people in the game. One thing led to another, and ultimately it led to this general manager opportunity here in Cleveland. And, you know, I have to tell you, my first inclination was I really didn't want to do it. I just said, you know, I've been there before. The weather is miserable. It's going to be a tough situation. The team is in, you know, almost disrepair. It's just going to be a really, really tough job. That was in November of 04, just after Butch Davis had resigned from the team, and there was speculation that I would be going to the Browns. And I told my wife that story, and she said, well, you know, we're just going to pray about it. And she came back to me about 2 weeks later and said, well, I've got news for you. I'm like, okay, what is it? She says, well, we're going to Cleveland. She goes, I have a piece about it. I think we should do it. I really think we should go. And ultimately, I was offered the job, and we came here. And, you know, we've had so many obstacles and roadblocks and just crazy things that have happened, and you sometimes scratch your head and wonder why. But it's made us stronger. It's made us stronger as a couple. It's made us stronger as an organization. And I think some of those hardships have actually proved beneficial to us.
We're visiting with Phil Savage, the general manager of the Cleveland Browns. Phil, you have been placed in a huge responsibility, and you talked about being an evaluator of talent. Do you notice any difference between the Christian athlete and the non-believer in terms of feeling God's pleasure out on that field, a relentless mentality? Is there a difference in the effort? I mean, honestly, as you look at it, I know people have questions about that sometimes with Christian kids.
You know, the world has a view of what a Christian is, and a lot of times it's not. They don't think that the player's the toughest or the, you know, the most dedicated or that he has other interests. And my experiences have proven to be the opposite of that. I think the Christian players generally are more even-keeled. They're more dedicated than your non-Christian players because they have a perspective of what life is all about and what it really means to be a successful player and that the responsibility that comes with being an NFL player. So my experiences have been different in that regard. I tend to have a lot of respect for those kind of players. We ask those kind of questions, but, you know, we don't go out and specifically look for Christian players. In my mind, it's somewhat of a benefit, but, it never kept us in Baltimore from taking a player, and it has not had any real impact here in Cleveland. But generally speaking, I think you find that the players are more consistent on and off the field if they have that background of having a relationship with Jesus.
Phil, one last question. If a player is sovereignly chosen to be a part of the Cleveland Browns team through all of the things that you talked about, talent, character, et cetera, and God has placed him there, what types of opportunities at the Cleveland Browns are there for a player to really grow in his faith?
Well, we have a full-time chaplain that's with our team, and the Browns have been through such turmoil over the years, they've never been able to really establish a strong Bible study group. But I think now that our team is pretty much set for the next few years, we'll see more and more participation. It'll be more consistent. And I think the players and their wives and girlfriends will grow quite a bit. So there is an opportunity there for the players to experience those things. And, you know, it's important. I mean, you look at it, you're 23-year-old, single male who comes into a city that you've never visited before. You don't know where to live. You don't know really who to hang with outside of the other teammates. And I think those kind of things can have a real positive influence and a real positive impact on the players that come here. But I can say that there have been a number of times over the last 12 years of my direct involvement with the draft where things just happened that you couldn't explain that put a player right in your lap. And you just feel like that a lot of times the Lord's hand is at work. And if he truly cares about every hair on our head, then he cares about where we're going to play or coach or scout football. And I really believe that.
Well, Phil, first of all, thank you. I know you're busy. We know it's hectic, but may the peace of the Lord go with you as you evaluate talent and help develop the Cleveland Browns into the best football team it could possibly be. Thanks for being on the show, and thanks for your commitment to Jesus Christ.
Well, Ron, I really appreciate it. And, you know, it is a platform, and there's no doubt about it. I try to be positive that way. And, you know, again, through the ups and downs of being a GM and the wins and losses, I think if I can be any kind of example at all, it's through the relationship with Christ. And he provides that strength for us, and I really appreciate you guys having me on.
Praise the Lord. That's Phil Savage, the general manager with the Cleveland Browns, on the run, developing talent, looking for the great talent out there, and just honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. We appreciate Phil for being on the show today. FCA is recognizing the month of October as One Way to Play Month, focusing on the One Way to Play drug-free program. The spokesman for this program is former NFL safety Steve Fitzy, and he'll be up next when Sharing the Victory continues.
One Way to Play drug-free from the Fellowship of Christian Athletes is one of the most successful programs in the country, reaching more than 500,000 student athletes. Here's Texas Rangers All-Star Josh Hamilton.
Use what God's given you and glorify Him the best you can, and that's by keeping, you know, your body free from the things that aren't supposed to be in it. You know, the best I can do to put in my body what it needs to be fueled in a healthy way to glorify God when I play is what I need to do.
To sign the One Way to Play commitment, visit FCA.org. You love sports, and you love reading about sports, but your favorite sports publication seems to have become little more than a fantasy league report. Enter Sharing the Victory magazine. Published 9 times a year by the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, Sharing the Victory gives you in-depth articles on some of today's most popular Christian athletes and coaches, as well as stories of FCA's impact around the world. You'll also get STV's cutting-edge 2-page poster highlighting one of the magazine's featured athletes. Order your subscription today at sharingthevictory.com.
My guest is a very familiar name to you who have been involved with FCA for a lot of years. His name is Steve Fitzhugh, who heads up our One Way to Play drug-free program. Welcome to Sharing the Victory.
Hey, thanks, Coach.
Steve, you're a former player at Miami of Ohio, football track guy, bounced around the National Football League for a few years and went on to get a master's in divinity. And then you've had some great opportunities to share the gospel in inner city Washington, D.C., and help all kinds of things get started with FCA and now around the nation. That's got to be very rewarding for you.
Yeah, it's rewarding, and I tell students a lot of times that they say, why don't you play in the NFL anymore? And I say, well, I got promoted.
You know,
my real Super Bowl is standing in front of young folks and being able to tell them great things about life and seeing the light come on in their eyes. And my wife still chuckles when she sees me signing autographs. She'll say, "You're still milking those two games in 86, three games in 87? Yeah. It's still opening doors. And I just use it, that sports as a platform to access the hearts and lives of young people with the truth. And I think one of the greatest fights in America is the fight to get truth in front of our young people.
Well, tell us a little bit about how you're doing that, Steve. What gives you these great opportunities? What message do you bring to the table when you get there?
Well, you know, the challenge is to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. And the One Way to Play program is a tremendous approach to make that happen, where we can approach an administration and even now in colleges, NCAA, approach them with the opportunity to present a drug-free message to their student body and to their college and their campus athletes. And who doesn't want to welcome that kind of message with all the challenges that, that high school and middle school and college athletes are facing? And so they invite me in. We set up the assemblies. We set up the presentations. A couple times this year I've spoken at universities, and the NCAA has a mandate that these athletes hear the drug-free talk at least twice a year, and so they've used this as one of their mandatory talks, and I get the entire campus of student athletes to hear the challenge of believing and making a commitment and having accountability in your life as it relates to those things which you put in your body, drugs, alcohol, substance use, and abuse.
Steve, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes is going to be emphasizing this month as Drug-Free Month. What is different about your message to students around the country versus any other alcohol, drug-free type message?
Well, I think it's a couple of things. I think one of the greatest challenges, first, is to be able to earn the right to be heard. Everybody has a message. Not everybody is taking the time to find ways in which we can connect with the young people to present the message. The other thing I think is very powerful is that you can't eliminate the whole idea of faith. Believing and having some kind of connection with a spiritual authority in your life. And I don't have to use faith language to communicate truth to young people. And so many students come up to me, and oftentimes they'll say, "You're a Christian, aren't you? You're a believer, aren't you? I could tell, and I knew so." And then they begin to tell me their testimonies. The other thing that's very powerful about the One Way to Play piece is that we actually challenge students to sign a commitment card. And I always call it a contract. Now, I ask students, how many of you are willing to make a commitment to be drug-free, and then how many are willing to sign a contract today to make today the first day of the best days of the rest of your life? And that's just the beginning of our access into that student's heart and life.
Well, Steve, this is great stuff, and we're going to be visiting with you again next week because there's plenty more to say. Our guest today is Steve Fitzhugh, who heads up our One Way to Play drug-free, alcohol-free program, speaks all over the country, very powerful speaker. Steve, thanks for being on Sharing the Victory with us today.
Yeah, thank you.
To learn more about Steve Fitzhugh and the One Way to Play program, go to FCA.org and click on One Way to Play. University of Buffalo head football coach Turner Gill is back for another visit. Man, I can't get enough of this brother. I worked with him for 12 years as a coach, and I tell you, I just love what God is doing in his life. He's up next on FCA's national radio program, Sharing the Victory.
One Way to Play drug-free from the Fellowship of Christian Athletes is one of the most successful programs in the country, reaching more than 500,000 athletes and coaches. Here's former NFL safety and One Way to Play spokesman Steve Fitzhugh.
If we can encourage our young people to be true to their purpose, be true to God's call in their life, if we can encourage them to make the right decisions now, they've already won. Because when they get to college, someone is going to put that brew in their face, and they have to decide now, not then.
To sign the One Way to Play commitment, visit FCA.org. Here's a quick hit from Pro Bowl defensive end of the Green Bay Packers, Aaron Kampman.
There's a passage of scripture in Colossians that says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. That's working for the Lord and not for men." And that verse to me really deals with intrinsic motivation, internal motivation, that what you do for the Lord and for His glory. And with that type of a focus, you're able to perform and play and live at a much higher level, whether it's playing football or in my marriage with my wife or being a father to my children. That's what you're living for.
Quick hits from FCA. Have a question or comment about the program? Our email is stvradio@fca.org. That's stvradio@fca.org. Now back to Sharing the Victory with Ron Brown.
Once again, it's an honor to have the head football coach at the University of Buffalo, Turner Gill, who's done a tremendous job, one of the toughest jobs in America when he inherited that job. And I'll tell you what, he's turned it into a place where Buffalo has become a very dangerous football team. When we were both at Nebraska as assistant coaches, we went through a spiritual gifting class at our church. And I asked Turner what he learned from that class and how he's applied that to his world in coaching.
I really have a purpose of a passion for young men, particularly the age between 17 and 22, 23 years old. That's my passion, is working for young men and really having a discernment, being able to look at the young men, find out who they are, where they come from, what they're all about, and help them find out their other purposes, not just that their purpose is to play football and catch, tackle, throw, or whatever, but also other great qualities that they have that God has placed in them. And to show them and to tell them, and that gives them a little bit more enlightenment about who they are. And so that's my purpose that God laid over my heart in that class, and as we went through the prayer and talking and sharing things with others, is that having a discernment, being able to find that specific group that I have the passion for that he has wired me with, and that is males between 17 and 22, 23 years old.
You know, Turner, just listening to you talk, I just reminded that so many of us are circling the airport, but we never land the plane. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is we're Christians and we're in the coaching world or we're in sports, and we think, well, it's just about my job and it's just about, you know, my performance and winning and losing and all of that and glorifying God that way. But, Turner, there is a specific place we're supposed to land our plane. There's a specific call and mission uniquely designed for us with our gifts and talents. And as you begin to discover that, you were able to land the plane. You were able to say yes to things that you knew that God wanted and no to things that you knew, even though they were good things,
yes.
You were able to say no because you knew that wasn't your specific calling, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. That's exactly right. And not only as far as with the younger man, he's also put the passion on me as being able to have a vision to help change this coaching profession. And what I mean by that is that we can continue to help our families and spending time with them and still be able to coach. And it's probably not going to happen in my time here living on this earth, but as we all know, we can plant the seed. And that is as the vision that he has put in place for me to teach to our coaching staff is to provide a positive, a motivated environment which encourages excellence, growth, and balance in every aspect of the lives of the student athletes and the staff. Mm-hmm. We got to do that. That's the whole focus, and we always come back to that. And that's what I talked about to our team, I talked about to our staff, is that's the vision. That's what we want, is to always create a positive environment and an encouraging environment that creates a balance. Not always one-sided. We're always going to go back and forth a little bit, but you don't want to have that big dip.
Well, you know, Turner, for your leadership to really flow through the program, it's got to be reproduced, and you do that through your assistant coaches. So what do you look for in an assistant coach?
Well, two or three things there, and the biggest thing there right off the bat is the person positive. Is he a guy that can take a young man and be able to have a passion to teach him about life experiences? Mm-hmm. And one of the things I do is ask the coach a question as I interview them and get them in a scenario. Say he's a running backs coach or whatever, and ask him a question of, you know, okay, here's a player comes in and says, Coach, I should be the starting running back. I don't understand why you're not playing me. And then I tell that to the coach, and I want to see how he's going to respond. If he's just going to say, well, Coach, I'm going to tell the kid that other guy is better. You know, he's just done better than what you have done. Well, if he just says that tells me he doesn't have a passion to help young men become better in our life and our society. Mm-hmm. And that's not the guy that I'm looking to hire. So he has to have that passion, has to be positive, and also a person that doesn't use bad language. Mm-hmm. God speaks about that you don't need to use that type of four-letter words to get your point across. Mm-hmm. Again, we're teachers. Jesus and his disciples are teachers. They were teachers. And as we are the ambassadors for Christ, we are teachers. So I'm looking for people to come here on this staff to be positive, to have a passion for young men, and not use bad language. That equals building a positive relationship with young men and staff.
We're talking to Turner Gill, the outstanding head football coach with the University of Buffalo. Turner, one final question. As you look at your players, what do you see when you look at them, and how does that affect how you think, and do you pray for them?
Oh, absolutely pray for them. I pray for them to compete. I tell them to compete in the classroom. I tell them to compete as far as in our society, compete as far as being able on the football field. And so that's what we talk about. I said, is you have to be competitive, and you have to be able to handle adversity. And we need to teach them how they can handle adversity. For an example, if a guy is not doing well on a football field and not competing, then our coaching staff, that's your job to help that young man reach his full potential. Mm-hmm. And we do videos. I want our coaching staff, they put a video of his best play and put it on there 10 to 12 times, and you sit down with him and have mm-hmm. him visualize that in his mind. So when something negative occurs, then the coach needs to say, hey, remember that tape I gave you there on Monday? Huh. And you did a great job as an offensive lineman. You did a great job of your pass set. You punched with your hands. You mm-hmm. kept your back straight, and you punched. Then you put those positive things in his mind so that he can go back out on the football field in the next series or the next game, and he can still believe in himself. Mm. He can believe in his ability. I said, tell him, if you've done it one time, then you can do it. You should not have any doubts that you cannot go out and perform at the highest level. So that's what we're doing with our staff, and that's what we're doing with our student-athletes. And we have made some improvement. We still have a ways to go, but God has blessed us and have our young men competing on the field and off the field and in the classroom.
Well, you know what, Turner, I have to say this. This is some real meaty stuff, and it's no surprise that those players at the University of Buffalo are starting to play with confidence and poise, and they're winning games, and they're playing a tough schedule, and it is the most improved team in college football, and that's why you are the MAC Coach of the Year, and I want to congratulate you for that. I mean, I know that you are not validated by that Coach of the Year honor, but I will tell you this, that God, he rewards you. He keeps perfect records, and he sees what you're doing in the little things, and I know that he wants to bring himself glory through you. So congratulations to you, my man, and keep up the great stuff in the Lord. You've inspired us.
Well, I appreciate it, and I guess the reason what keeps me going is in a great verse there in old Joshua 1:9, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Amen. Well, I love you, brother, and
I'm
so glad we're brothers in Christ. Thanks for being on our show today. That's Turner Gill, head football coach with the University of Buffalo.
Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Last Wednesday was Fields of Faith. We're praising God for the great things he did on Wednesday night. If you're attending a Fields of Faith in your area, I'd love to hear about it. Go to sharingthevictory.com/radio and click on Contact Us. FCA President Les Steckel's up next. Don't go anywhere.
Here's a quick hit with Arizona Cardinals quarterback, Kurt Warner.
Jesus is what I want to be the definition of my life. Winning Super Bowls were awesome. But I hope through all of those things, people understand that I'm defined by so much more. When it's all said and done, please don't remember me for the MVPs and the Super Bowls. Remember me for the impact that I had on the people around me and the way I live my life. And that's really how I want to be defined.
Quick hit from FCA. Next weekend on Sharing the Victory, we'll visit with one of the top headliners from the 2008 baseball season, Texas Rangers All-Star Josh Hamilton. And with the start of the Winter Classic approaching, three-time World Series champion Bobby Richardson shares what he values more than championships.
To know that your teammates, your friends, and those you meet and love have that wonderful opportunity of receiving the Lord Jesus, spending eternity with him.
Listen next weekend to Sharing the Victory.
Hi, Ron Brown back with you on Sharing the Victory. It's time for Coach's Corner with Les Steckel, that former college and NFL coach and now current president of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
This past summer, I experienced something my wife and I had dreamed about for 34 years, a trip to Switzerland, the home of my ancestors. Neither of us had ever been there until now, and already we're dreaming about returning someday for a second visit. What's the first thing most people think about when Switzerland is mentioned? Yes, it's the Alps. The Alps are truly spectacular. And hiking mountain trails for up to 6 hours at a time and gazing at the majesty of those mountains became a favorite pastime while we were there. And Switzerland is, of course, also famous for chocolates and watchmaking and the cleanliness of its cities and the punctuality of its transportation service. If a train is scheduled to leave the station at 5:32 p.m., you'd better be already on it, because it will not be delayed for anyone. But I also discovered that Switzerland is famous because it's the birthplace of the leaders of the Reformation period in the 1500s, such as John Calvin and Ulrich Zwingli. Calvin certainly is better known to Christians, and his name is so much easier to pronounce, that's for sure. But I'd like to focus on Ulrich Zwingli for his Reformation work. Yes, but also for a motto he had for anyone wanting to experience a powerful life in Christ. Zwingli's motto was short and simple, but very meaningful. What was it? Simply, pray hard, work hard. Zwingli was a scholar, preacher, politician, and patriot who spent his life trying to rescue Switzerland from what he considered a moral and spiritual decline. He gave his congregation the theme of pray hard, work hard almost 500 years ago now, but it's just as relevant today as it was to people of Zurich way back then. Of course, it is also completely biblical. The Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians 3:23, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." Since it's the Lord we're serving with our hard work, we also need to stay connected to Him through constant communication. He promises to labor with us, but He also wants us to come to Him in prayer and present our request and offer our praise. How often should we pray, you ask? At mealtime and before bed? Not exactly. Our prayer schedule is clearly outlined in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. Pray constantly. All of us would be wise to remember that God's Word is the truth and filled with great wisdom. If you want to be successful for the Lord, and if you want to accomplish those high goals you set that may look as tall as the Alps, know you can reach those altitudes when you pray hard and work hard. God bless you on your journey.
Well, I know in my coaching world at Nebraska, we're focusing on that tough Big 12 schedule, and this is a great time of year for football fans all across America. But wait a second. What about those baseball playoffs? Let's don't forget about baseball. The World Series is right around the corner. Next week, we'll focus on baseball, and we'll have an interview with a guy who made headlines all year long for his faith and his recovery from drugs and alcohol, the inspirational all-star with the Texas Rangers, Josh Hamilton. Plus, one of my personal favorites, former New York Yankee great Bobby Richardson, will be on with us. Remember, there are two ways of doing sports, God's way or man's way. Which will you choose? Have a great week from all of us here at Sharing the Victory.
We encourage you to browse our website at sharingthevictory.com/radio. You can sign up to get the free Daily Impact devotional in your inbox. You can also find FCA resources from FCA Gear. And, of course, you can listen to past interviews and programs. You'll also find information about financially supporting Sharing the Victory Radio. Your donation will help ensure that this program continues to impact lives each week. Thanks so much for your prayers and support. Again, the website is sharingthevictory.com/radio. Have a great week and make plans to join us next week at the same time for Sharing the Victory. Sharing the Victory is a production of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. FCA is the heart and soul in sports.